Good morning. It is November the, what is today's date? The 6th, November the 6th, 2023. And it has been a little while since I have done a podcast, and I am going to start doing a few more. I have been researching a vast amount of different topics, and it gets a little confusing as to which one to do next and what order to do them and that kind of thing. But I think what I'm going to do is just start going through the information that I'm finding so that we can kind of make this a little bit more educational. So one of the things that I have been doing is researching the court system. You see videos and information all over the internet about the different jurisdictions and the different types of courts and all that kind of stuff. And then you also see things about the, you know, the state of Georgia is incorporated. It's actually an incorporated name. It's not actually Georgia the Republic that we actually think we live in. And that we're, you know, having all these games being played with us like we're a bunch of idiots. And we are for the most part. So what I'm going to try to do is go through and list some examples of how whacked out this whole thing is, and to reiterate something that I think is extremely important for all of us to understand. The thing that I want to reiterate is our Constitution. You hear all the time, I hear people all the time talking about the Constitution's dead. It doesn't, you know, it has no power. It's, you know, it doesn't protect us and on and on and on. And I want to make sure that everybody is aware of the fact that our Constitution is actually very much alive. And it's very much a problem for all of these globalist elites. We're not, you know, I don't really, you know, you get in these debates about whether the Jews are behind this and whether, you know, the Illuminati or what is going on. And quite frankly, I personally don't care. I do believe that the Jews have a lot to do with what's going on, but I don't really care about that debate. And hopefully by the end of this video, you'll understand why I don't care, because the fact is that none of that stuff matters until we take over our own house. If we continue to be complacent and not learn our constitutional rights and not stand up for them, who's doing this to you is irrelevant. You can hate one group or the other, but it's like hating a person for coming in and taking over your business, but you let them, like you allowed them to come into your office and to actually start running your company and taking it away from you, and you never stood up for your rights and never said no. So there's no point in blaming anybody at this point except blaming ourselves. We have allowed this to happen. And until we all wake up and stand up and say, meh, we're not playing your game anymore, it's all on us. So the number one thing to understand in life in the United States is this. You are not a United States citizen. And when I say that, I want to add that you have the ability to say that you're a United States citizen if ahead of that you define what the United States is. So if you want to define the United States as the several states of the Union, in other words, Florida, Georgia, the states that form the Union known as the United States of America, then you can say that you're a United States citizen. But without that definition, you are saying something that you don't understand. And that one phrase that I just quoted is the only thing that makes the federal government relevant in your life. So what you have to start off with is that the states, Georgia, Florida, Alabama, Tennessee, California, all of these states are individual countries. We have been taught through our education system that they're all this conglomerate of things, and that, you know, they're all related through the United States of America, and that United States of America is the thing that we all are part of. But that's not the case at all. And I have plenty of research, court cases, code sections that back all this stuff up. So the thing that you have to understand is the state, and I'm going to pick Georgia because that's where I live, but the state of Georgia is a country and not the state of Georgia. The state of Georgia is a company. But Georgia, the republic, is a country. And we are related to Alabama and Tennessee by the Constitution, the forming of the federal government. We essentially all signed on to a union to say that we're all going to work together for the common defense and that kind of thing. But if you consider the fact that Georgia has its own constitution, its own laws, and its own processes, and Alabama's the same way, and you can't take a court case from Alabama and just come into Georgia and hear the case, all of these things point to what I'm saying as being correct. You, and the Constitution clearly backs all this stuff up. So when you say that you're a United States citizen and you ask for the actual definition of this and you go read the Constitution to see that this is completely the fact, the United States has always been a reference to the District of Columbia. The Constitution referred to the United States as being the government of the United States, or the federal government, or D.C., District of Columbia. And so you have to understand that that thing is called the United States. That's what everybody throughout history has referred to the District of Columbia as, the United States, because it is. It represents the United States. But you have to think about what I'm saying. I'm not saying the country. I'm saying the states united. So the United States, the states united, they're the same thing. They're synonyms. So when you realize this, you have to start asking the question. When people ask you, are you a United States citizen, you have to ask, well, what do you mean by the United States? And if they mean the whole country, then sure. But I'm actually a state citizen of Georgia, and that's it. I can go live in Alabama and I can become a citizen of Alabama, but I will always be a Georgia citizen. That's where my birth certificate is. That's where I was born, and that's what makes me part of this union. So what does that mean? What difference does that make? Well, now you have to back up and start looking at the code sections that these people are writing in the federal government and the state government. We're going to talk today about the federal government, but the state governments have mimicked the stuff that the federal government does, and they have done it through the state of Alabama and the state of Georgia. It's not the actual Georgia Republic. It's not the actual state that we were born in. So When you start looking at the code and you apply the one thing that I just said, which is that you're not a United States citizen, and you start paying attention to the verbiage that's in this code, and they wrote it in code because it is code. It's you have to decipher it, and it's not hard. Once I have given you the key word, now we're going to go look at some actual code and see what it says. So in the research of the code of the courts, one of the things that I was interested in is what kind of court we're actually going to, because it cannot be a common law court. A common law court means that someone on the other side of the aisle, I have committed trespass against them. And I don't mean trespass going on somebody's property, although that could be what we're talking about, but I have done something to harm the individual that's on the other side of the aisle. But if you consider the fact that most of the time there is no one on the other side of the aisle, it's the state. Well, who is the person that is the state of Georgia? There, because a company cannot act on a living soul. It has to act. It's fictitious, and it would only be able to work against fictitious things. So this gets you into the whole uppercase naming thing, which I'm not going to get into right now, but there's some game being played here, and it just doesn't make any sense. So, number two, always remember that the state of Georgia and the federal government are two completely different jurisdictions. If you want proof of that, you cannot send a sheriff from Georgia up to Washington, D.C. and have him arrest someone in Washington, D.C. for violating a crime in Georgia. If we were all one big country, we'd have one big set of laws and we'd all be living under the same tyrannical government. But that's not the case. So you have to understand the District of Columbia has no jurisdiction inside of the state of Georgia, and Georgia has no jurisdiction in the state of in the District of Columbia. And it does refer to itself as a state, which you're going to see in just a moment. So having that knowledge means that whatever is getting passed in the federal government level has no bearing on us. They could literally pass an anti-gun law, and it would have no bearing on us as state citizens unless our states adopted that law through our constitutions and did a constitutional amendment saying that we were going to no longer have guns. They would have to pass an amendment getting rid of our Second Amendment. That has never been done. And so the laws that are getting passed in the federal government, at the federal government level, do not have to be abided by at the state level. So now let's talk about the courts. Well, when we go in, Title 28 is where you get into the main crux of how the court operates. So if you want to know all the rules and regulations that the courts have to abide by, then you would have to go to the code for Title 28 and learn everything that's in Title 28. Now, there's a lot of stuff in here, and we're not going to go through all this, but I just wanted to kind of show you how this is laid out. So this is Title 28. You can see the organization of courts, the Department of Justice, courts and officers and employees, jurisdiction and venue, procedure, and so forth. So let's just jump into jurisdiction and venue. So in here, we have the Supreme Court, the Court of Appeals, district courts, United States Court, federal claims, and on and on. And you can jump in and continue down this rabbit hole to get to the jurisdiction of whatever court it is that you think you're in. But here is something that you need to understand completely. There are definitions to words. If you go to Webster's and you look up the definition of a word, that is called a common definition. That's what you and I refer to when we say a person. We are automatically talking about a human being, like another person that we're, you know, affiliating with, a man or a woman. When the federal government and the state of government says the word person, that is not what they're talking about. 99% of the time, that is not what they're talking about. And I'm not going to tell you that. I'm going to actually show you what is going on. But here is the point. The code sections that lay out the entirety of the UCC and the IRC and all that stuff, they have their own definitions. And because the code section is this one big, huge document, they do break them down into sections, but they're this one great, big, huge document. If a definition exists in another section of the code, that's the definition that the whole code is going to use. If a definition is supplied in the section that you're actually reading, then that's the definition that you're going to go with. So the assumption is that a word defined in one code section covers that code section. Not defined there, you fall back to any other definitions that's within the code. And if it's not there, then it's our common definition, the thing that we think we understand. But the problem is that we've never been taught this. So the one recommendation is for all of you to go buy a copy of Black's Law Dictionary, and it really doesn't matter what version. You can get the latest version or get an older version. They're a little bit cheaper. They do make changes, but they're not, in most of the cases, they're not relevant enough to worry about. When you get that, start looking up words. When you read a section of code, go look up the words in that in that definition. And I've got other podcasts where I go through the word income, for example, and we look up each individual word. It's quite illuminating. It's something that when you're done, you're like, holy cow, now I understand how they're getting around this, because we have foolishly been walking into their court not understanding what was really going on. So this gets you back to the original matter, which is, how are these courts working? What are their jurisdictions? Now, I'm going to jump over to Obsidian here, primarily because it's the thing that I track all of my information in. By the way, while we're talking, if you were to go, let me open up another tab here, and if you were to go to constitutionalcounty.us, and this is the home page of the website. You can also see that there are podcasts and things here that you can go if you want to go back and watch some of the earlier podcasts. I do have links to the Rumble videos as well when you go through here if you want to would rather watch the video. But if you look at this first paragraph right underneath the podcast, you'll see it says, here are my notes. It just explains to you that I put all of my research inside of Obsidian, and then I publish that online. And so if you question anything that I'm saying, you have access to all of my notes. Now, I have one strict rule that I attempt to put in all of my research, and that is that if I cannot validate something, I don't put it in my notes. Or if I do put it in my notes, there will be a personal note tag that's within that note that will tell you what my opinion is or where I'm at in the research on that particular topic. Some things do get put in there because I'm still researching them and I don't want to forget them, but I nonetheless will put a note on it saying that, hey, this is what people are saying, but I can't substantiate this. So I'm trying my best to make sure that there is no opinion inside of my Obsidian notes. And again, if they are, I will state that is the case. So let's jump back over here to Obsidian and take a look at a couple things. So the one thing I want to point out is we're in 28 USC. So that's the code for the court system. That's what defines the entirety of the court system. And so let's just look at a few of these definitions and apply the information that we just talked about. So here is actions against a foreign country, so or foreign states. Now, I want to point out a couple things. First, this is a lowercase s, and I want to state that up front because we're going to try to see if that has any relevance. The argument is that if it's a lowercase within the code, if it's a lowercase s, they're talking about the actual several states. And if it's an uppercase s, they're talking about their states, which are states of the District of Columbia, which are completely different things than what you and I think we live in. So let's take a look at this. This is actions against a foreign state. The district court shall have original jurisdiction with regard to the amount in controversy of any non-injury civil action against a foreign state as defined in section 16.03A of this title as to the claim for the relief for personam. Okay, and it also paragraph B here says personal jurisdiction over a foreign state shall exist as to every claim for relief over which the district courts have jurisdiction under subsection A. So this jurisdiction thing is an issue. We need to look into that. And again, you cannot assume anything until you actually look at each section of this code. So this is giving us 1603 of this title. So let's jump over here to 1603 and see what it says. It says a foreign state, except as used in section 1608 of this title, includes a political subdivision of a foreign state or agency instrumentality of a foreign state as defined in B. And B says an agency or instrumentality of a foreign state means any entity which is a separate legal person, corporate or otherwise, and which is an organ of a foreign state or political subdivision thereof, a majority of whose shares or ownership interest owned by a foreign state or political physical subdivision thereof. And then it, section 3 says, which is neither a citizen of a state of the United States as defined in section 13 C and E of this title, nor created under the laws of a third country. Now, they write this stuff to be confusing as hell. So when you read it, you have to read this stuff 3 or 4 times to really drill in on what the hell they're talking about. But I want to point out something. It says, which is neither a citizen of a state of the United States. A state of the United States. Georgia is not a state of the United States. Now, they want you to believe that they're talking about a state of the United States of America, a state of the country. But that is not at all what they're saying, and I'm going to prove that in just a moment. So I just want to point out that when they write this stuff, they are very specific on their wording. A couple things. Capital S. Within the context of a state of the United States, it is capitalized because it is an ownership of the United States, the federal government. So when they say state of the United States, they're not talking about Georgia. Georgia is not a state of the United States. Georgia is a state of the Union. It is a republic, a state republic. It is a state of the United States of America, but it is not a state of the United States. But let's dig a little deeper and see if we can prove that. So let's look at 1603C, which is the definition of the United States. The United States includes all territory and waters, continental or insular, subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. Well, the first thing that you would have to point out is that, wait a minute, the United States is the United States. That's not a definition. That doesn't provide a definition for you for anything. This is written to be purposely confusing because it has to be. If they were to ever write this in a way that you think it actually is talking about, they'd be in court and the whole thing would be overturned. So by wording it this way, the courts will never have to make a ruling on whether or not this is constitutional, because it absolutely is. It's not talking about us. The fact that you admit that you're a United States citizen and volunteer to pay income tax and to be, you know, responsible for all of these crazy codes and sections that they have in their documents, that's completely on you. That is totally through your ignorance, because the code was very specific. It says the United States includes all territory, waters, continental or insular, subject to the jurisdiction. You don't even have to go to the last part, because subject to the jurisdiction means that the federal government has jurisdiction over the state, over Georgia. It does not have jurisdiction over Georgia. I have plenty, and if you go through my court sections that are up here, and I'll just show you this real quick and we'll come back to where we're at. But if you go to court cases in my documentation that's on the web, and go down here to jurisdiction or go to the United States, it has lots of court cases that go into the fact that the United States does not have jurisdiction inside of a state. Look, there's, and this isn't even a tenth of the court cases. These are just the ones that I've listed. So The United States does not have jurisdiction over the states themselves. And so when you see something where it says in the jurisdiction thereof, you can automatically say that we're talking about the District of Columbia. As soon as you see those words, stop thinking about the country and start thinking about the District of Columbia, because there is no jurisdiction that covers the whole country. And we've covered that in previous podcasts. So the United States, with respect to the court, and again, we're in the court, the definition of how their courts operate. And we just talked about the fact that they only work inside the United States. We have defined the United States as being the District of Columbia. The state itself, when we looked at the state, it says the term state court includes the Superior Court of the District of Columbia. So there's a book that I was reading. It is called, in fact, let me just jump up here to my books, because I also put them online. It is Cracking the Code. So if you go and check out the Cracking the Code book, and you can buy this book. But one of the things that he says, he gives a really good explanation of what includes means. And I don't have the quote here in this particular note, I do not believe. But I'll get it and put it in there because it's actually a pretty good example of what is meant by the code when it says includes or including, because it's not at all what you think it's talking about. So let me get back over where I was. Essentially what it comes down to is when the word include or including is used inside of a code section, and the courts have actually ruled on this, it is actually saying that it includes that thing, whatever is listed inside of that includes, and anything that is within that group of things. In other words, it can't say includes the court of the District of Columbia without, and then you're supposed to assume that it's talking about all the state courts of Georgia, for example. You can't make that assumption because they didn't list any state courts in their definition. They only said includes the District of Columbia, which means that it only includes the District of Columbia courts and anything that fits within that jurisdiction, within that definition of the items that fit within that. So when they only list the District of Columbia, it only talks about that. I also want to point out the fact that this is state capital state. So this is not Georgia's courts. This is the state courts of the United States of, or the District of Columbia. So again, you read this stuff and you think that you understand what it's talking about, but when you really start reading into it, it gets really, really strange. So again, the word states, this is 28 U.S.C. 1332 E. It says state. The definition of states, as used in this section, includes the territories, the District of Columbia, and the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico. Again, we're only talking about D.C. stuff, and therefore you cannot assume that it includes anything else because it doesn't specify any other thing other than D.C.-related territories. So when it defines state, it is not talking about the several states of the union. It's only talking about Washington, D.C. and its definition of the word state, which is D.C. So let's look at Admiralty and Maritime. The district court shall have original jurisdiction exclusive of the courts of the states of, and notice, capital S. This is their states, not Georgia. Any civil case of admiralty or maritime jurisdiction saving suitors in all cases, all other remedies to which they are otherwise entitled. But the primary thing is, again, it's talking about this state, this capital state. Let's look at diversity of citizenship. And this is the cause. The district court shall have original jurisdiction of all civil actions where the matter in controversy exceeds the sum of value of $75,000. Now, there's another code section that actually covers the lower section saying they have original jurisdiction over that as well. So they're trying to claim that they have original jurisdiction in every case, period. But let's look at what it says. Citizens of different states. So it says it is between, exclusive of interest and cost, and is between citizens of different states. Again, we just define states as being the District of Columbia. So when they say different states, and look, in this same code section right here is the definition. This is E, the word states as used in this section includes the territories of District of Columbia. So they didn't say that it includes the several states of the Union. It didn't say that it includes Georgia, Florida, or any of those states. It only listed things that are in the District of Columbia, and therefore everything that's within the species of that those things are included. So the entirety of this code, and it's really worth just jumping in and start looking things up, because you will realize, and this is why I said earlier that when you say the Constitution doesn't have any power and that it isn't protecting us and it isn't doing its job, it is. If the Constitution didn't exist and all of the people were correct that say that, you know, we've been overthrown from the very beginning and we've been tricked and all this bullshit, if that were true, then none of this code would have to be written in this cryptic code sections that they have. It wouldn't be linked all over the place. It wouldn't be so convoluted and retarded because they could just say whatever the hell they wanted. I mean, the Constitution's clear. The federal government can pass any law that it wants. It doesn't have a constitution. The Constitution defined and built the United States, the federal government, but it didn't. It doesn't rule it. The Constitution clearly states that the federal government can pass any legislation they want within the District of Columbia. I don't know how much clearer you need to be. Go read it. It specifically says that it has complete jurisdiction inside of the federal district. So if you declare yourself as a United States citizen, then you're declaring yourself as a 14th Amendment citizen. And as such, you have to abide by all of their rules and regulations. If you're not a United States citizen, which I argue would be an impossibility unless you were born in a post office or a military base or in Washington, D.C., there is no physical way for you to become a citizen of that state. And the D.C. is a state. It's not a state of the union, but it is considered a state. So you can't be that thing. But if you voluntarily say you are that thing, and you take advantage of all of their benefits and programs and things that they're giving you, then they pull you into their jurisdiction and then they slap you down with all their rules and regulations that you have no ability to read because they're written like some kind of alien. So my advice, and we really need to push this video and this podcast to as many people as we possibly can, because we all as American citizens have got to wake up to the fact that we are the problem. It is not the federal government. It is not your state government, because your state government isn't even operating in the capacity that it's supposed to be. It's operating under this state of business, and that is a federal state. And that just to kind of let me see. I think I have one here that defines state as a state of the United States. See if I can find it. But in any case, the point is that there is one definition that said that a state is a state of the United States. And so hopefully you understand that that's an impossibility. Georgia cannot be a state of the United States, but the state of Georgia can be, because it's a federal corporation that is under the guise of the federal government. Now, this is something I just said that I cannot back up. I cannot prove that the state of Georgia is a federal corporation, because I've not found proof of that yet. I am searching for that, but I have not found that yet. However, based on all the definitions provided inside of the Georgia Code and Virginia Code and Alabama Code, if you read the definitions in there, it says that's where it is. Let me show you. So I'm going to close code sections. I'm going to come down here to Georgia, and I'm going to look up definitions, and let's look up state. State means a state, territory, or possession of the United States, the District of Columbia, Commonwealth, Puerto Rico. I have not been able to back up the fact that there's paperwork out there that says that the state of Georgia is a corporation. I can't back that up. However, that definition right there proves that the state that we think we're living in or that we're operating in is not the state republic. It's actually something else. It's some other entity that is part of the federal government. So when you go to a state court, a state of Georgia court, you're not actually in a state court at all. You're actually in a federal court. You're in a federal jurisdiction court, because their definition of state says that it is a possession of the United States. So the United States does not possess Georgia. It might possess this federal corporation called the state of Georgia, but I don't know. All I can do is assume that by their own definitions, because and if you go find this information in every state code section, you're going to find a similar example of what that state is. It's not the state that you think you're living in. So we have got to wake up. We have got to start sharing this information, and at least, even if people don't believe the information, at least it puts a seed in the back of their head that they might be getting the wool pulled over their eyes if only they'd go research a little bit more. For the rest of you, if you are already awake to all this, please read your Constitution more, because all the answers, all of the stuff that we need is all right there in front of our face. We've just got to start standing up for it. If you do not stand up for your rights, you do not have any.